All right, you're live on the Arms with Glenn
and John.
All right. just got done chewing on a
super delicious piece of beef jerky.
Delicious jerky.
That was probably a decade old before it came out of the MRE that we found it in.
We found beef jerky in an MRE at the office and we ate it.
Super good, so here you go.
Not all. Oh, you kept it?
Well, I ripped off the part where you bit
it. It's a souvenir.
Oh. Yeah, it's a souvenir. I'm going to see how long it lasts.
Forever. Well, it lasts forever.
It's basically meat-flavored sawdust.
Oh, man. Pretty bad. All right. So thank you, patrons, for being awesome and supporting the show. We hope that you are interacting with the extra stuff that we're putting out there. We've got blogs and show reviews and extra content for you guys and giveaways and all the shit. Did we get all the way through January and not have a giveaway?
Yeah, we haven't done a giveaway yet.
Damn it. Okay, what are we giving away?
I have a TAC Pro Gear Thin Blue Line American flag patch. First person that asks for it gets it.
Whoa.
First patron that asks for a patch from John. January giveaway.
You got a better idea for the next 3.5 days?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do. 3.5 days. In 3.5 days, we're going to give away... We're just going to give away a med kit. We always have med kits.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to give away a med kit to a patron who, in the next 3.5 days, can draw a photo of a shark...
Riding a unicorn.
Riding a unicorn.
Shooting a belt fed.
Shooting a belt fed. I want a picture of a shark riding with a belt fed riding a unicorn in the next 3.5 days. So what's the deadline going to be? Let's see.
The end of the month.
Shut up, man. All right.
It would be the 31st day of January.
Thursday. I was looking for a day of the week there.
Oh.
So Thursday.
Is that right?
At midnight. The contest ends.
Boom.
Shark on a unicorn with a belt fed. Most amazing drawing wins a badass belt kit. A badass med kit. What kind of belt fed, Ryan asked? Any.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care. Any belt kind fed. It could be an AR with a Shrike upper. It could be a PKM. Sure. It could be a Dishka.
Oh.
It could be an RPD.
You can make one up.
Could be a 249, a 60, an M240 Bravo, and a Mod Deuce.
Yeah.
Could be a... Freaking
Mark
Vickers.
19.
Could be a Vickers. Could be a Mark 19, technically.
Or an old, or the Vickers and the 1919. The 1919 Browning.
Could be a 1919 Browning.
That's a dope gun.
So many options for belt feds out there. So any belt fed, any kind of shark, but I am a kind of a great white shark kind of fella. All right. And a unicorn.
Unicorn.
Which is a horse with a horn on its head. So if you don't know what that is, I don't
it's
know.
It's a horse with a bayonet, bro.
Yeah, it's a horse with a bayonet.
It's not a horn.
There you go.
It's a bayonet. Bayonet.
So. Any kind of drawing, I don't care if it's MS Paint, I don't care if it's hand, I don't care if it's Photoshop, it doesn't matter. But by Thursday at midnight, the best version of what we just said wins a badass med kit.
Awesome.
I don't know what kind of med kit we're going to give you. Maybe a hard case.
A badass one.
A badass
Maybe we'll give away a hard case med kit. I don't think we've ever given away a hard case med kit. Like a seahorse?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay, so that's seahorse, it's going to be a med kit and a seahorse.
Yeah.
A hard case, a waterproof, dustproof hard case. So, patrons, there you go, man. Dave will post that up.
Yeah.
After the show, he'll post it in the Patreon page so that anyone who, you know, has a chance to look at that will get on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll remind you guys maybe, I don't know, at least one more time. But, you know, it's only 3.5 days, so there you go. All right. A Nurse Shark Unicorn Donkey Rusty RPD. I'm in.
Boom.
Prove it. Yeah. Do it. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Excuse me. All right, alumni group on Facebook for Instagram. I'm sorry, for Independence Training going great.
Yeah, it is.
So if you are a student of Independence Training, get on Facebook, jump on the alumni, look up Independence Training alumni, and request to be added, and we'll approve you as long as you're a student. And all kinds of good information, getting spread by other students, cool stories, all kinds of good stuff. Videos that we're putting up there, extra content we're doing, so all kinds of opportunities for you guys to get more stuff. So, there you go. Also, we're having some weird problems with the, social media because we're a gun-related organization and freaking Facebook hates us and Instagram hates us. So, if you are not already on our email newsletter group,
mm-hmm.
you need to get on it. You can go to our Facebook page for Independence Training, and
there's a post for it.
Pretty much every week we've been posting at least once, so you won't have to scroll back too far to find some information about a link that you can click on and go become a subscriber to our newsletter. And it's been actually really successful for us. We have got a lot of our Facebook followers over to our newsletter so that they can get information. I've even got some feedback from people. They're getting more content from us from a once-a-week newsletter that we send out as compared to the two-a-day post that we're putting on Facebook because we're getting hidden in their feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something there.
I read an interesting article about a way to overcome that on Instagram. Stop using pro-gun hashtags.
Yeah, I've thought about that too, but they still they're just organizations.
Oh yeah, organizationally they're
you know, bad problems with getting in the algorithms.
Yeah.
So I thought about that, but then I'm like, what, you know, whatever. I don't even know if hashtags are really that beneficial anymore. When we first started out, they were really beneficial. I don't think people really give a shit about. I never search anything via a hashtag.
I do from time to time.
Yeah.
If I'm looking for something kind of specific.
All right. Monkey porn. Hashtag monkey porn.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Johnny Chimpo, bro.
Johnny Chimpo.
Monkey Afghanistan animation.
That's right. This weekend, did some precision rifle classes. I really enjoy doing precision rifle. And I always learn new things from students. It's always interesting. A lot of it is equipment based.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
makes sense.
Just the optics choices that people make, the rifle choices people make, the caliber choices people make are interesting to see. You know, and when you ask them, like, why did you decide on this particular piece of equipment for this type of application? It's always interesting to learn.
You have your way, and Josh kind of has his way, and you have the way you've got your things set up, and it's always fun to see other students and see other people's just general ideas of the same concept,
yeah. But
you know, just the different choices.
Furthest shot was out to 11-13, I think, this weekend. We had some guys banging the 1100, nice. Which technically it's our intro 1 and intro 2. So intro 2 technically only guarantees people are going to get to 500 or 600. 500 actually is what it says.
But if you've got a good group of guys, you can really...
We can stretch when we can. And some people were able to stretch far and some people weren't as much, but it was a good time. It was definitely a freaking good time. And it was a lot of fun yesterday for the Top Shot. So for day 1 Top Shot, we had a good... event, good Top Shot competition, and then we ended up having to do a head-to-head between two students, which was fun. And then yesterday's Top Shot is completely no head-to-head needed. Josh's dad came to class.
I saw that.
And just crushed it, man. I mean, he did fine in the class, you know, not necessarily like so well. I'm like, oh, he's going to be our Top Shot. You know, there was actually another guy in class I really thought was going to be the top shooter for day 2 because he was just killing it all day, just really, really doing well. But man, when people get in that little bit of, you know, time crunch, a little bit of pressure-based environment, things happen.
As you say, it's usually, in my experience, in most of the classes, the top shot is not the guy that's been performing the best all day.
It usually isn't, no.
Which is super surprising.
Yeah, it's usually not the guy with the most expensive gun, and usually not the guy who's been performing the best, or the student, I should say, because obviously he's a lady. So yeah, it's really interesting to watch how that process works out. And it's really interesting to see how people perform in the Top Shot competition. Because I'll tell you what, man, people I thought would do well just bombed it in the freaking Top Shot.
Yeah.
And then...
Beep!
Dude, I mean...
It wrecks people sometimes.
It was interesting. It was interesting to watch. It's always fun to watch the Top Shot. You know, handgun, carbine, rifle, whatever it is we're doing, it's fun to watch Top Shot. It's fun to watch.
I remember the only time I came close to Top Shot, student beat me by, what was it, like a half an inch? In precision rifle that time?
Yeah, I think so.
Beat me by like a half inch or less.
Yeah, because Top Shot on paper.
No, we were shooting that Javelina.
Oh, that's right. We were measuring best impact. That's right. We made like a minute of angle dot and you had to hit the freaking dot. That's right. Boy, that was tough.
Yeah, it was.
That's what's fun though. That's what's fun about Top Shots, great, man. Is it really competition drives performance and it's good stuff. So we've got some interesting news stories to talk about. The first one was there was this whole news report done on Fox News in Baltimore about how the FNS pistols were misfiring and literally like firing in the holster.
For like just no...
Yeah.
Absolute mechanical failure.
A cop walks into a freaking county building or whatever and his freaking gun goes off kind of stuff, right? Like crazy... crazy stuff that you just don't hear a lot about firearms firing themselves, basically, because of an actual mechanical failure. It does happen, but it's not something you see a lot of. So I had posted the story up on Independence Training. It's just kind of a, hey, heads up, guys, if you got an FNS pistol, here's a thing you might want to know. Well, what was really interesting is one of our followers on Facebook is a Department of Public Safety in Arizona, Department of Public Safety officer. And this news story was actually about DPS officers in Arizona.
Huh.
Another follower pointed out something that was interesting where he said, hey, go back and watch the video and notice how sometimes when the guns fire, they don't cycle. And there's this one particular one where they hit the gun at the top of the gun with a hammer and it fires, but the slide doesn't cycle at all.
That is super strange, especially.
It's strange, like video editing strange.
You think so?
Yeah. Like when you go back and watch it again, you're like, It's kind of interesting. There's a couple times it definitely cycles. You're like, okay, I can see how maybe if you weren't paying attention, you could miss that it cycled. But there was a couple times where it actually didn't cycle. So.
Huh.
One of our guys who commented on our Facebook page said, I work for DPS, and I will say this. They had to work very hard to get that problem to happen. Can it happen? Yes. But conditions have to be so perfect that it's really an overrated issue. None of us, meaning the other guys he works with, have been able to verify whether something even happened in real life for them to figure this out. Oh. Also, as soon as the issue was brought up to FN, they replaced the strikers in all of our guns and have no problems. Overall, I still rate them as a pretty good gun. So the idea here is, as always, be careful with what you read in the news or see in the news. We kind of put it out as a, hey, guys, if you got an FNS, you might want to be aware of this. And then got several cases of feedback where people were posting comments of like, hey, I have an FNS and it's badass. I've never had any problems like this, you know. So like anything else, be aware. Mechanical failures can happen in firearms, but their likelihood is small. Dan Crenshaw, who is, of course, a phenomenal veteran politician out of Texas.
That's right.
And a one-eyed guy. You might recognize him. Prior service SEAL, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And he had posted up something recently about news and that there's no such thing as fake news. He's like, I'm going to stop using the term fake news. I'm going to start using the term misleading news.
Mm.
Right? Like David read a funny article to me this morning about, and I guess it was from like last year or something like that.
The
one about the high cap magazines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The state rep.
Yeah, so Illinois state rep dumbass was like, yeah, the reason we need to ban high-capacity magazines is because high-capacity magazines turn firearms into fully automatic machine guns.
Turn regular firearms into fully automatic weapons.
Yeah, that's what regular firearms into fully automatic weapons.
Dude, I want to know where they're getting their magazines from. Because I'm going to start buying them from the same place.
I don't care if they're $1,000 a piece.
Yeah, I for sure want to buy that because it's cheaper than buying a real full auto.
It's always like that, though. Always the politicians who are getting elected are so damn stupid. And, guys, it's on both sides of the house.
And what was Feinstein's last one?
It's on both sides of the house.
Feinstein's last one, I think, was something about we have to ban pistol braces because they increase accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah, they increase accuracy of, you know, pistols or whatever, which is like, I can see what she's saying.
Not an incorrect statement, but her context was way off.
It's the same thing as, you know, that dumbass freaking Colorado rep who, when they were pushing the magazine ban in Colorado, she was like,
they're only one time.
Yeah, she's like, I don't understand why the big deal is about these high-capacity magazines. They're only one-time use kind of thing. I mean, she literally thought that once you used a magazine, you threw it away. Like,
it's perfect.
These are the people that are making decisions. That's why at this point, celebrities, sports athletes, If you are paying attention to what celebrities, sports athletes, or politicians are saying about liberty or the kind of decisions you should be making in your life, here's what I want you to do.
Stop.
Stop. And if you want to keep going, stop listening to our show. You're not our people. All right? If you think that what a celebrity or a sports athlete or someone who is participating in that very removed world is talking about, they have no idea. You know, it's the same thing where you got the government shutdown going on right now and all your Congress people, whatever, they're all freaking vacation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically.
All the underlings are all not getting paid, but they're still getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
They don't give a shit. They'll force a government shutdown because it doesn't affect them. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with celebrities. They just stand around, talk about things. They're at a million-dollar houses, multi-million-dollar houses, multi many, as in multi-million dollar houses. They got one multi-million dollar house in Key West, another multi-million dollar house in freaking Seattle, another multi-million dollar house on some private island. Like, we don't live in the same world.
Not even
your
close.
Politics and our and my politics are not the same.
No.
So stop commenting on things you don't have anything about. And then they talk out against, you know, guns, for example, and yet they roll around with private security guards armed with guns. And it's like, well, it's easy for you to not carry a gun. You have a private security team. I can't afford a private security team, nor do I want one.
Mm-mm.
So I am my private security team. I am, as T-Max says. What does T-Max say? As the agent in charge of your own executive protection, right? Which is something I like the way that Pat McNamara says that. You are the agent in charge of your own executive protection. You are the one.
It would be nice to be able to afford a team, though. Not going to lie. It'd be kind of cool.
If I could afford a team, I'd probably hire Pat McNamara. Not just because I think he's like a badass. I do think he's a pretty badass dude. I just want to be around that guy. He's fucking hilarious.
The guy seems like a cool dude to hang out with.
He's hilarious. Every time I bump into him at SHOT Show and I take a few minutes to talk to him, he just cracks me up, man. First of all, he's shorter than I am, and I'm a more short guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I always find that kind of interesting. And then he is just so damn intense.
Always.
All the time. You're like, dude, it's not a show. It's not a show. It's just who he is.
Yeah,
it's not a super intense guy.
That's him.
Anyways, I don't really care about his training too much. It's a lot of, you know, kind of range drills and stuff, which isn't really my thing. But who he is as a person is interesting to me. I'd hire him, and I don't know who else.
Who else would you?
I don't even know. I don't know. Jay Paisley, probably.
Yeah, I'd hire Jay for sure.
Hire Jay.
It's crazy ass Mohawk.
So there was this really great video. Oklahoma,
yeah,
about a guy who pulls a gun. So he's being escorted by law enforcement out of his home, and he basically just reaches into his jacket and pulls out a gun and kind of side profile points it at the officer.
Yep.
Now he doesn't get any shots off, and then the officers kill him. Totally appropriately.
Yes.
The interesting thing about this, for anyone who's done like our close contact handgun class, ShivWorks ECQC, our entangled class, or any type of close quarters fighting, especially if you're a dumbass who like grabs rubber dummies by the face and muzzle presses them, or you like to stab in the face with your knife and then do cool guy shit on Instagram. If you're one of those idiots, I want you to watch this video because that shit doesn't work.
Mm.
All right. And what's interesting in this video is the cop actually gets pretty lucky. And we can say that luck is preparation, meaning opportunity. So the cop was obviously prepared to engage with lethal force.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty quick on the draw, too. I got to say, that guy's gun came out fast. The cops did.
Single-handedly.
I don't think his hand ever left his gun, though, the entire time.
Once they started walking, he sticks his hand down. He's like, hey, man, do me a favor. Keep your hands out of your pockets. And then it's go time, dude. Pistol comes out. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing was the cop reaches out and tries to swat the gun away and kind of does a half-assed good job.
He grabs it and presses
He kind of does. I mean, he kind of gets an okay press, but he never really controls the gun. He kind of just smacks it out of the way as his own gun is coming out. And then within arm's reach of his assailant, he goes to full extension and hammer down. Now, he wins that fight, and it's good. I would definitely not say that his tactics could work every time. The other guy was pretty preoccupied with getting his own gun into the fight. Once his gun was no longer effective,
he kind of ran out of answers.
And the officer was already up and running. So the idea here is close quarters gunfights, entangled type fights, close contact type fights are the most likely thing you're going to be in. And that was a perfect example of one. And I know it's law enforcement related, but look, if you're a law enforcement officer listening to this, it's a good video. Just, you know, look up, you know, officer, Oklahoma, officer involved shooting.
Or scroll through your Instagram feed, because I think I've seen it like 50 times.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
Because everybody keeps reposting it.
Yeah, and everyone, you know, has their 2 cents just like us to say on it. And my 2 cents mainly is know more about close quarters gunfights and how to control the other person. Control the other person before bringing your own gun into play.
I do like the end of the video, though, where the other dude comes running up and the cop turns. And the dude just like,
oh, yeah,
stops.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, never mind.
Cop's like, bro, I'm in kill mode. You better stop.
It's like, I will I will kill you as well.
I've literally killed one man today. I am okay with continuing. There was another thing where in Texas, you see that? This was a couple weeks ago. A homeowner shot and killed 3 men and injured 2 more during a home invasion. Now, it's a shanty place, right? The house itself is, like, super shitty looking. So I'm guessing it was probably, like, drug-related or something. I mean, when do five people show up to do a home invasion? Like, they hate you.
They're just strolling
the neighborhood. Yeah, like, five people ganging up to do a home invasion. That's a lot of people to do a home invasion.
Yeah.
So I think that there's always
like a fire team. That's a whole fire team.
It's a lot of people, man. So anyway, he freaking went to work, man. Smoked freaking three of them and injured the other two. He basically put rounds on everybody successfully, very successfully on three and mildly successfully on the other two. And I'm sure, again, there was some kind of related. Like, you look at this video, man. I mean, look at this, dude. The dude's got, like, the recliner, like, the chewed up, shitty, old leather recliner. Hey, isn't that the house you grew up in, John?
No, that's a house. I grew up in that trailer.
That's a better.
Thanks. Hey, you know, my parents died in a car wreck when I was 12. Can we talk about that next?
Why would we want to talk about that?
Exactly. But it's not true. My parents did not die in a car wreck when I was 12.
They didn't. That's a movie quote. Anybody know the movie quote? You can post it up on our Facebook video or send it on Patreon. We'll send you a patch. That's where John will send the patch. If you know that movie quote, that's how you can get that patch.
Yep.
All right. If you know where that movie quote came from. All right. So anyway, that's an interesting story. You know, in talking with law enforcement, working with law enforcement so much, it seems like so many freaking home invasions are drug related or otherwise related to like some other situation. But
yeah.
Especially five people. We have a great student who's very involved with the Arizona Mule Deer organization, and I wanted to tell you guys about their Region 6 Phoenix area fundraiser. Tickets are as low as $40, and they go up from there depending on if you want like a whole table or whatever. It's February the 9th from 5 to 10 in Phoenix at Point Tapatio. You can look it up on Eventbrite. Just look up the Arizona Mule Deer organization fundraiser. So if you have an opportunity and you like hunting, it's a great opportunity to go have a good dinner, have some fun, do some fundraising, help an organization learn more about it. They do. The Arizona Mule Deer Organization does tons of volunteer-based land conservation and wildlife conservation projects. So if you've been sitting around like, man, I really want to get involved with something, I don't know what, Arizona Mule Deer Organization, go get involved with them. Even if you're not a hunter and you don't care about hunting mule deer, they're a great organization for conservation volunteer work and wildlife volunteer work. So the Arizona Mule Deer Organization Region 6 fundraiser, February 9th from 5 to 10 at Point Tapatio in Phoenix. You can buy your tickets online at the Eventbrite website. So just go to Eventbrite and look up literally Arizona Mule Deer Organization Region 6 and you will find it. Last thing that kind of came to last piece of news we'll talk about that I found amusing is actually from a year ago, almost not quite, but almost. So actually, like 7 months ago, in Arizona, these two DPS officers are cruising in an unmarked car, and they get attempted pulled over by another unmarked car that was a impersonator, a police impersonator. So it's a really funny video just listening to these two officers because they're so chill about the whole thing. But they realize what's up. They pull behind the guy. Go ahead and pull him over.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Dude, like, so we pulled behind him and pulled him over.
Yeah, like, we get hit with these lights. We're like, hey, that ain't a real cop. Like, they pull up alongside. They pull back and pull up alongside of him. And they can see it's a dude like in some kind of law enforcement uniform, but it's not like a real law enforcement uniform. And they just, you know, they're like, we don't know what's going on. So they slide behind him and go ahead and pull him over. And it was like some security guard.
Well, he was wearing a security guard outfit.
He was wearing a security guard outfit, and he was like, I just pull people over for the safety of
trying to keep the public safe.
Or whatever. Yeah, who knows what racket the guy was up to. Anything from freaking kidnapping and abducting people.
Is there a picture of this guy?
Oh, yeah, and he's exactly what you think he would look like, dude. He is freaking Whiskey Tango Max. Yeah, 100%, dude. 100%. His name is probably Leroy or something. I don't know. But he, Leroy Jenkins. But,
God damn it, Leroy.
Yeah, it's like total freaking hilarious situation.
Oh, if I had been the cops, I think I'd have let him pull me over. And then when he walked up, and I'd have been like, hey, check it. This is a real bad,
bro. It's a real bad, bro.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, interesting story. The point of it from, 7 months ago was, look, make sure that when you're getting pulled over, especially, I mean, that was here in Arizona. Make sure when you're getting pulled over, it's a legitimate police officer. Undercover and unmarked cars are so popular these days.
Oh, yeah.
that it can be tricky. Make sure it's an officer. If you don't feel safe, if it's dark, if you're a single gal, if you're something, you know, you just don't feel safe about maybe pulling over on the side of the road, pull into a well-lit area, signal that you are going to comply, put on your hazards, put on your blinkers.
Yeah, put on your hazards,
decrease your speed.
And you can call DPS dispatch and be like, hey, 100%. I'm so-and-so, I am at X location.
Is somebody trying to pull me over? Because they've already called it in at this point. Yeah. If they're like, no, we don't have an officer in the area that's trying to, you know, pull anybody over, then you got a problem on your hands. Yep. And look, this kind of stuff happens, and police impersonators have been used to, you know, snatch people up, you know, extort money from people, just generally harass people. So if you're concerned, like, I don't know, that just doesn't look right, this doesn't feel right, don't think that you absolutely have to freaking pull over.
And don't base it just on the appearance of the car, because DPS out here has got some gnarly UC cars.
Yeah.
Like minivans and like, dude, I've seen some of
them. Toyota Tundras, like really good looking vehicles.
I remember driving by one. I'm like, what? Oh, what?
Yeah. I've cruised past a couple. Fucking
Toyota Sienna.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, damn. I was
like, oh, crap. That's a cop car. I'd have totally gotten a speeding ticket from that guy.
All right. Redwire gear moment, go.
So I have several new products coming out. For those of you that have been watching the Instagram and Facebook, the emergency management rack is. It's not available yet. It's out. I've got one out for product testing. I've got another one for photos and different setups and stuff like that. Those will be available for purchase by 1 March at the latest.
It's a good rig. A
couple of new tourniquet holders coming out, a belt mounted one, and then one that will integrate into the new chest rig system. So keep watch. This first quarter is going to be kind of a big deal for me and getting some new product out after 5 years.
All right, right into our topic, SHOT Show review. Oh, sorry, Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com.
Word.
SHOT Show review is our topic for the day. We're getting right into it. Trends that we saw. All three of us were there, plus another one of our guys, Josh, was there as well. I only stayed for a couple days. Dave and me and Josh only stayed for a few days, or 2 days. John was there for a few days. Trends we saw. So first of all, I do not go to SHOT Show to cruise the floor and look at stuff. That's not what I'm there for. I go there like for this week, it was like, or this year, Tuesday, I was pretty much all day meetings.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I was mostly meetings with a couple of hours thrown in where I could just kind of cruise around.
Yeah.
So really, I got a few hours of cruising around and that was about it. So I certainly didn't see everything, but the stuff I did see, I'll talk about. Trends I saw. Tiny little carbines.
Oh, yeah. Tons of that.
Everybody's into super tight, super compact little guns from the new Maxim PDX. Yeah, they're PDX to the new SB Tactical braces, which are badass. They've got some really cool new braces coming out from SB Tactical. All of that kind of stuff. Smaller is better when it comes to carbines, it seems like. Smaller is better. So I saw that trend. Another trend I saw, less bullshit on the floor.
Dude, there was so much there were empty booths.
Well, there was empty booths, which was interesting for SHOT Show, but there was also like by less bullshit, I mean like there were less people just cruising around taking photos and looking for swag, dressed in multicam. Like normally we do our operator point game. We didn't even do it this year because it was actually hard to find appropriate points.
Now, I found two of them.
We did find a guy wearing a full
the American
fur coat.
Oh, okay.
We so did you see the guy in the
oh, yeah.
American flag set, like shorts and a white beater. Well,
it was bibbed overalls that were cut off.
Bibbed overalls. The Viking helmet dude.
There's a guy that had the horns on his bandana.
Bandana horn dude.
Yeah, there was a guy dressed as an alien for some reason.
That one was for alien gear.
Alien gear. Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that guy. So, I mean, there was definitely some tomfoolery, but there was not as much BS. And I think
there wasn't as much operator YouTuber. They're really
tightening it down. I mean, the industry is down, which is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I know did not go
because
they just couldn't afford it or just wasn't appropriate for them to go this year. And then on the other side of that, there was a lot of people, I think a lot of people who normally could go kind of got butted out by SHOT Show.
Mm-hmm.
There was still plenty of freaking, you know, Insta-famous Instagram instructors and stuff like that. I walked past a lot of them. I don't say hi to any of them because I don't fucking care. They're just people to me. And a lot of good stuff there. A lot of little people, on Instagram. They tend to gather in groups, the Instagrammers. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you see them, they're all always together in large groups. They're like flies to shit, I guess.
Well, they herd. But
they herd. They herd.
So that they can take selfies and be like, oh, I met XYZ.
Look at the other Insta-famous people I met. Yeah. We're all Insta-famous on social media. We never actually accomplished anything in our lives, but we're all Insta-famous here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, I had an interesting conversation with a guy this morning, one of the guys we do some work with, who we were talking about followers and the idea behind followers and all that. And I said, look, man, followers is just a term that social media has used so that they can get you even more into the idea of, look at all these people who follow me. I must be important. They're not followers. They're watchers. Followers is, hey, boys, we got to go over this hill. There's some awful shit on the other side, and we're going to walk right into it, and some of us might not make it back. And someone who follows you, that's a follower. Anyone else is a watcher. Mm-hmm. And that's what social media is really full of, watchers. They're just watching what you do. It's not like if I click follow on someone, for example, I'm not like, oh, my God, I subscribe to everything that this person does. I love them so much. They are just complete me. They Jerry Maguire complete me. No, they don't. I go like, I would like to see more of this stupid shit, you know, because I like to laugh. Follow. Or I go, I love sharks. Follow. Or damn, that's some cool guns. Follow.
Yeah. I follow Pat Mack for the Sunday sermon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I follow Pat Mack.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the stuff that he puts out is good content, his workouts and things like that. But I love his Sunday sermons. Yeah. That's why I watch Pat McNamara on Instagram.
My favorite thing to follow is Nature is Metal.
Oh, I love Nature is Metal. Holy crap.
I haven't seen that.
Every time I see it.
Oh, dude. It's just pictures of animals eating other animals. Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's so phenomenal.
Every time I see it, I'm like, why can't people be just like that? Like, why can't we be straightforward? I'm going to kill you.
What's this called?
Okay. Nature is Metal. It's amazing.
Nature is Metal. Yep, it's perfect.
Question for you, John. Any plans to make a handheld radio sling?
Handheld radio sling?
You're going to want to email info@redwiregear with more information on that one. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Email John.
Email john@redwiregear.com.
John at
redwire. Or info, whichever one you can remember later.
There you go.
Email both.
Yeah, or both. Both is also a valid option.
There you go. All right. So, On to better stuff. Wilderness, the Wilderness products here in area, Wilderness Tactical here in Arizona, they got a cool new product line coming out that is called the Sportsman's Line. It's basically their normal products, but made more for everyday people who might not need a bag that's going to last them for the whole rest of their eternity.
I totally missed that conversation with Sam.
So definitely make sure that you guys are checking out the Wilderness. They got some cool new products coming out there. Other new products I saw, new Vortex stuff. Of course, I'm a big Vortex nerd. New Vortex, four big new products from them that I want to talk about, but really only three I'm super excited about. The first one I don't really care about is they have a new set of rings, which is good for some people. I don't really care as much.
Well, it's their,
because
their,
I get lots of, I have lots affordable of rings.
They're mid-grade rings, right?
So it's actually kind of their almost budget ring.
Yeah.
But honestly, they're almost like the precision match rings. So they're half the price of the precision match ring.
Yeah.
But they're damn near just as good. So for some people who are looking for new rings for your optics, this is a good option. They have some new reticles, which I'm excited about. The new EBR-7C is a badass new reticle. They're also going to be releasing optics with the Horus 59 and the Tremor reticles, if you like either one of those. Then they've got the new Fury 5000s, which I'm super excited to be able to talk about because I've known about them for a while and had a chance to do some field testing with them, and they're awesome. I love the Fury binos, their razor binoculars with a rangefinder built in. And I've really enjoyed my Furies, but the beam is too wide, the point of aim is too big. They only go out to about 1600 about a mile or so, and just not quite what we need these days for new long range stuff. The new ones, which I had a chance to play with well before SHOT Show, was, dude, they're much finer aiming point, better brightness and contrast. 5,000 meter capability. I was freehanding, just propping my arms up and freehand ranging 2,000 meters.
Nice.
I was like, yes, these are the things. And they were like, you can't tell anybody for a SHOT Show. And I was like, damn it.
It's like, oh, no.
So I'm really excited to be able to talk about them because they're freaking cool. I'm super excited to get a pair of those. And then the new reticle eyepieces for the Razor spotting scopes, I'm pretty excited about as well. So fully reticle eyepieces, 22 fixed power, which I'm still not a huge fan of. You know, if you want a variable powered bank reticle, you're going to have to go with like Leupold or Swarovski.
Oof.
Yeah, you like dropping $5,000 on a spotting scope. The Swarovski is the one for you.
I got a couple of buddies that have those.
Yeah, they're pretty phenomenal. So those are the new Vortex products. Also look in 2019 for Independence Trading to be doing even more. I mean, we already do a lot with Vortex. Look for us to be doing even more with Vortex. And we're very excited about some of the meetings we had with them at SHOT Show. Dumb products I saw. Accurate Pistol Systems.
Which one was that?
That was the...
which one? That says that something.
Was the stock that collapses onto the pistol. So it's a normal, like your...
Oh, Glock, so yeah. It's like a PDW 17. Stock?
Yeah, it's basically a PDW stock. So you can extend out a brace, right? And then mount your pistol. And it just makes it very bulky. Again, the idea is good. Like, hey, I can shoot my
pistol. It's like a backpack pistol, gun.
Or I can extend out this stock. And now, boom, 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 boom. I can see a very limited
application to that.
Very, very limited. Very limited. Because now the problem is, like, I've shot pistols with stocks before. And now I'm talking about, like, AR pistols with braces, but actual pistols with stocks. Meh.
Yeah. The sight radius is kind of wonky.
You're still shooting a pistol.
Yeah.
You're not turning a pistol into a rifle.
Nope.
You're shooting a pistol with more support.
Yeah.
So I'm not really into that. The handy racker system, which has been out for a while, which is this giant thing that you attach onto your pistol so you can more easily rack it. I see it in being used for like people with disabilities, arthritis. Once again,
limited application.
Very, very limited application. And then Dave and I saw
that racking block.
What? So that's the handy racker.
No, I thought the handy racker was attached. Yeah, that's the back plate that's attached.
Yeah.
I was talking about like the, it's almost like the eraser. Oh, it has that's right. It's like the racking block.
Yeah, you put it on the slide so you can rack it.
Yeah.
Again, incredibly limited, if even possible application. And then Dave and I saw that really dumb, they were all the way up on the top floor with all like the real small companies. That stupid less lethal first round thing where it's like that ball. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Did you ever see the video of that? So what it is it's like a ball. All right, that you insert onto the front of your gun. So let's say I'm a cop and I'm like, put your hands up, bad guy. And the bad guy's like, no. And then I'm like, well,
in stereo,
I can't shoot him. So I need to knock him on the ground. So I put this plastic ball like attached onto the front of my gun. It's pretty big size. And then boom, I shoot a normal round. And the normal round is trapped inside this ball, but then propels it off the front and it hits the dude. And then he's like, I'm done. I no longer want to commit crime.
But I'm alive.
And then you're like, that's right, bad guy.
That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't believe you haven't seen this shit, dude.
Yeah. Dude, so
it reminds me of the old school like Nerf ball.
Well, it's like a rifle grenade.
Yeah, kind
of. I mean, that's the concept of rifle grenades.
Yes. Here it is right here. Okay.
Oh, that looks gayer than 10 dudes blowing 20.
Oh, it is bad. The clip-on handgun attachment makes bullets non-lethal, right? So what happens, the bullet exits, bam. So you attach the whole thing onto your gun. The bullet comes out, bam, goes inside that little ball. All right, so here's a really great video of it. All right, so get ready for this stupidity. There it goes. Trap. Bam, the ball is trapped. Now the plastic thing flies off because there's enough energy to discard it. And then the ball flies forward and hits guys and stops crime. But then it normally loads up a normal round so that if you actually have to shoot someone for realsies, you're ready.
That might legitimately be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's been around for a while. I can't believe I've never seen this. It's been around for a while and I actually got to see it in person.
Which was terrible.
Yeah, really cool. Questions already. What about the bullet counter and the Duke shotgun that looks like it belongs to Warhammer? Yeah, so I didn't see the Duke shotgun, but yes, I did see the bullet counter. Yeah. I actually saw the bullet counter a couple of years ago.
So
it attaches onto the back of the Glock and then has like some kind of
digital readout.
I thought it was a whole new slide. The one I saw, it's a slide.
The one we saw it a couple years ago, it was an attachment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it might be a whole new
now
slide.
Now I think it's a whole
They're
slide.
They're still going for it. God bless them. And it's the thing. Here's the thing. That's actually kind of a cool idea.
Super interesting.
Right? It's like Aliens the movie or any game that you're playing where you can just look down and see how many rounds I have left, right? So it's like I'm playing Call of Duty.
It's like a heads-up display for your pistol.
Freaking aim it, you know, gun it, and I take cover, and I'm like, I just look down at the screen and go, oh, I have 5 rounds left of a 30-round magazine. Like, let's reload, you know? Let's proactively get this shit back in action. So I like the idea. It still just needs a little more tweak.
Yeah,
I think the round counter is not the bad idea because here's the thing, man. If I'm going blaze ops on someone because I'm trying to maybe not defend myself that's a more short-lived encounter. But if I'm in an extended engagement, like a law enforcement or military engagement, how nice would it be, dude? You know, to be blazing on your carbine, tucking out.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, especially with a carbine, it'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, I could see a way better application on a carbine.
Be able to look at your freaking somewhere and see, dude, you have 3 rounds left. You know, like, shit, I should freaking reload.
I should probably reload this thing while I can.
You know, because, I mean, the best type of loading in a self-defense or a combative situation is a freaking slide lock reload. But there are some times where, you know, I would like to proactively reload, and time and opportunity is definitely one of those. And if I have the time and opportunity to look at a bullet counter, how many rounds do I have left? I'm in. So I think it's a cool idea. It just needs to be tweaked a little bit. Did you see any of the Unity TAC stuff? I did not. You see any Unity TAC?
So Unity Tactical, I've seen some stuff in the aftermath. They've got some cool mounts. Think that's who that is.
Yeah, he said a new magnifier mount. Question.
Yeah, they've got they've got some cool new mounts coming out. I didn't see any of them personally. I was there for very specific. My God,
that's so fat, Ryan. You're so fast. I now have in front of me
It's a nurse shark.
A nurse shark with a nurse hat on, firing.
Is that hand drawn?
RPD.
Yeah. Did he draw that himself?
He drew that just now, man. Yeah. In like the last 41 minutes, he drew that shit.
That's fantastic. Hey, for those of you that are going to get in on this,
you better up
the bar has been set pretty high.
Bar is super. I'm looking at it right now, man. The bar is pretty damn high. So.
Pretty dope. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed it came together so quickly.
My God.
You guys better get on it, otherwise.
That guy's good.
Ryan's going to kill it because that was pretty badass. So. Those of you guys who are going to be listening to this after the live show, and you've been listening on Podbean or Spotify or iTunes or whatever,
yeah,
you better don't delay, because that's pretty fantastic there.
Sharkacorn.
Yeah, Sharkacorn is pretty legit. All right, I don't want to miss the January giveaway though.
Yeah.
All right. Other cool stuff I saw, the Yuko products. I'm a big fan of Yuko products anyway. Yuko and Mora Knife, company. Yuko does a lot of camping and survival stuff. And then, you know, Mora Knife, of course, makes knives. A lot of cool stuff, man.
I somehow completely miss their booth.
I can't miss their booth. I love going over there and talking with those guys. Firestarter cubes called Sweet Fire. Mm. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. It's a Yuko stormproof match, a huge one, embedded into a tinder block.
What?
So that you can literally just strike the thing and it can be soaking wet.
And you have a tinder block with a handle.
And you have a tinder block that's going to burn for 3 to 5 minutes.
And it has a handle, right?
Well, it's all consumable.
Yeah,
technically, yes, it has a handle, yeah.
So you can strike it and then set it down into
your tinder box or in your tinder pile.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Really cool. They have 2 different sizes. Really, really cool product from them. I was super into that. Oh. Mora Knife, of course, my favorite knife. It's what I use for pretty much everything. They have a couple cool new blades. Nothing too amazing with their general blades, except for 2 that I really liked. Mm. The first one was a fishing knife with a cork handle.
Oh, that's cool.
So that it floats.
Yeah.
Right? Which was like, why are other people making fishing knives that float? I mean, I'm sure someone else is out there, but it was really cool. It was a really cool blade. And then the other blade that I really liked was, so they stopped their relationship with Light My Fire. They used to be in correlation with Light My Fire, and so they had a knife, the Light My Fire knife, that you could twist the handle and open up a fire starter, right? Mm-hmm. So they stopped the relationship with Light My Fire, but they kept doing their own production of the thing. It's just no longer called the Light My Fire, which is fine. But they actually made it, instead of the companion blade, it's now the Bushcraft blade.
Ooh.
So it's a much heavier quality, better blade with a fire striker in the handle. It's a perfect setup, man.
Heck yeah, man.
So, you know, I love Mora Knives. And the best thing about Mora Knives is I think the most money I've ever paid for one was like $40.
Yeah, they're not super expensive.
Most of the companion style, the old Light My Fire knives I had were like $20-$25.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. Amazing quality knives. I have quartered out elk, quartered out deer, skinned out rattlesnakes, built shelters, skinned so many freaking squirrels and rabbits and stuff.
I've opened a lot of MREs with mine.
Yeah, a lot of MREs. A lot of boxes good for that. Check out Mora Knives. They got some amazing knives. Eberle Stock. Dave, super excited with Eberle Stock.
Yeah.
They have a pretty cool new...
Modular system.
Yeah, the E-Mod.
Their E-Mod system.
Where basically it's a frame.
Well,
yeah, so you can either get
attachment.
There's two separate frames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two frames, and then there's six or eight packs that go with it, and then there's some other attachments you can get to go with it. Mm-hmm. So you can do anything from like a basic day hike kind of thing all the way up to like a almost expedition style thing and still be what, like sub $500?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite thing was just having a pack frame, because I've always debated that on trips, is bring a pack frame could be beneficial, but then I have my normal hunting pack. And with this system, you can have a normal hunting pack. I think it was a...
Because they've got the load hauler frame and the M1 frame, right? The M1 frame's like the, it's like a PALS panel that opens way up. And then you can stick whatever you want in it.
Yep, and then you have the main frame. And I think they're, the Transformer was the normal pack. And it's, I think it's like a 2400, so it's still a pretty decent size.
Yeah, that's a good size.
And so you can have that as a normal day pack and still bring in a main frame if you want and have a packing frame. Like I was excited about it. And it, both of them combined was about $400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty affordable for what they are. I like them.
It was a cool system. I like that. The new Sentry products, a lot of cool stuff. You know, HexMag, who actually used to be one of our sponsors on the show, owned now by Sentry Products,
mm-hmm.
has some cool new stuff. From the HexMag side of the world, they have UTM HexMags.
Which were super dope looking.
Which were pretty good looking. And I think, I don't know if they'd be a better option than normal Hex mags or the normal UTM mags. I have to get one and try it out. And then they're finally releasing their Glock mags.
Yeah.
The Hex Glock mags, which, I don't know, man. I like their products. I like their company, but we'll see how they do on the market because it's hard to beat P mags right now.
Yeah.
And Magpul's got that on lock, you know.
Well, that's what happens when you're the original, essentially.
They also have a new line of nylon products, packs, daily carry packs, which look
look great.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cool blue they're one, not crazy cool, like, prices.
Navy blue one.
Yeah, it was like a navy blue and black with their hex grid system. They redid their war belt sleeves.
Mm. So really like, good looking war belt sleeves.
Yeah, yeah, and then they have a low profile belt, the gunner belt, like gunnar belts that have like a built in laser cut PAL system on the belt. And then their new pouches are awesome.
Yeah.
They got some great new pouches. Those I'm actually going to end up bringing part of those in as part of the new system for me. But their AR mags, or AR-15, AK mags, AR-10 mags, pistol mags, a couple of different IFAC, some tourniquet holder pouches. Mm. And some of their pouches, what I liked about some of them is a lot of pouches still to this day, for whatever reason, either have Velcro or zippers.
Mm.
Right. Well, I think we've reached a point in society where we can probably move beyond that in some areas. And they have like magnetic zippers is essentially what they were. So there's a little tab on it. You pull it and it just opens up. But it doesn't open up unless you actively open it. Mm. It won't just like come flying open. So those were pretty slick. And then, they had some that still had zippers and stuff on them. But their dump pouch was pretty cool. Big mesh bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Zipper or the like magnetic zipper so that you can stick things in it and get things out of it, but you don't have a giant open pouch. And then the bottom of it was just nice open mesh where rocks and crap would just continue to fall out of it. So,
yeah, I like their new products. They've got some cool new ideas. So, Sentry products, definitely something to look at. Zastava is back importing guns, and they're actually back on their own now. They're not using a firm to import their guns through. They are now their own organization. So look for all their cool new products, including some cool new pistols that they're specifically importing that are made by Zastava in Serbia. Cool freaking company anyway.
Nice.
And I like Zastava's stuff. I really love their AKs. And, I mean, they're coming. So they're back in business. I found a cool company I'm actually going to do some business with for our new training facility, KF. So like Kilo Foxtrot Armory makes these cool ballistic blocks that are like these really, it's like just the most simple idea.
They're like giant ballistic Lego blocks.
They're basically ballistic Lego blocks. You can stack them and arrange them however you want. They showed a number of different situations. Like you can build a bunker out of them.
What?
You can up armor vehicles with them. You know, let's say you
for sure have my attention now.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, like let's say you wanted to do ops in a normal van or something like that. You know what I mean? Most of the time the interior gets stripped out anyway. You just line the inside of it with these freaking ballistic Lego blocks
Well, how big are they?
They're big. That's the downside. They're fat, man. I mean, they're probably 12 inches across, but they're big and they're not the kind of thing you put in like a POV, a personally owned vehicle, and make that work significantly. But right. Like if you wanted to, let's like say, up-armor a wall. Yeah, yeah, like a panel van is what they use as an example.
Okay.
Let's say you wanted to up-armor a wall, you know, in your house or something like that. Like you literally just stack these things up.
Hmm.
You know, if you wanted to build bunkers, I was thinking of them like, dude, side impact berms for a couple of the new bays we're building. I'm interested. I'm gonna see if I can get some and try them out and see if
it works. Cool would that be? You could have a no shit 100% configurable shoot house.
That was another thing I was thinking about. Like, like a no shit actual configurable shoot house. Like we can literally go in there and Lego
just
build
like unstack and restack
some of these rooms.
Half walls, tall walls, mm-hmm. short walls.
So I'm pretty excited about that. And if it's something that, you know, you need in your life, you're setting up a shooting range in your backyard or whatever, KF Armory. Really cool products.
That's pretty dope.
The new Angel Armor. Very, very lightweight rifle-rated armor.
Mm.
Interesting stuff. I didn't have a chance to really talk with the people. It was kind of a hot topic there. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of people in the booth, and I don't really stick around. And
yeah.
And like if I have to stand there for longer, a couple minutes, I just pick up a brochure and walk away.
Yeah.
But the Angel Armor, check it out if you're looking for some different, very, very lightweight rifle rated armor. Obviously, cost is going to reflect that. It is kind of expensive, but definitely check that out. North American Rescue, as always, some cool new shit. Mm-hmm. They have the new RUF bag, rough bag, which is one of the cooler bags I've seen for med. One of our listeners, actually, and I'm going to try to go through our messages and find who it was. One of our listeners had messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, do you have any other ideas for like a med bag? Dude, this is it. The two new med bags that North American Rescue has released are literally the bags that I'm going to recommend to anybody who's looking for a nice compact med kit. They're badass. So first of all, they're not Barry compliant.
Okay.
Now the benefit of that is because
cost.
They don't need everything to be Barry compliant.
Yeah.
They need some. They're the only two bags I think they make that might not be Barry compliant. Cost. Mm-hmm. These things are like $100-$150. Like they're reasonable for what they are. So the rough bag I think is my favorite. It's a long thin pack.
Like the M9.
Grab the top, kind M5-ish? Of like half the size.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, sweet.
So you rip it open.
Yeah.
And it is it's two panels on the inside.
Okay.
Both panels rip out. So, like, let's say Dave and I were working on, you know, an accident or an accident scene. We're driving along the road, find this accident scene, roll up on the scene, like, oh shit. I can literally just rip off an inside panel and give it to Dave, and now he has a full IFAC. And then I just keep the other one with me, and I have a full IFAC. And then inside, the way that they pack it was actually for some law enforcement agency they had done some work with. So inside, two full IFACs plus a quick litter.
Huh. Oh, that's cool.
And the whole thing is literally half the size of like your kid's JanSport school backpack. Really freaking cool. And in the back, it has a sleeve so you can slide like a crash axe or a Halligan in there.
Mm-hmm.
Really freaking cool pack. I was really into it. Then they also have a new one called the Mini Medic Pack, which is like kind of like it looks like a really small old Alice pack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Better made, but that's kind of what it reminded me of a little bit.
Hmm.
Obviously, their new Spear 10-gauge chest needle decompression is freaking the hotness.
Yeah.
All right. It's 10-gauge, which we want, and it has depth gauges on the needle. Now, why are depth gauges important? Because people forget where they're at. And it's not that you have to insert to a certain point, but people think they've inserted
past a certain
point. You have to insert all the way. And so the problem is people are thinking they're all the way in and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, also has a one-way removable valve on top.
Yeah, which I like.
Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. So, we're going to be getting some of those. And the new Krite kit. See the new Krite kit? They're just using
I didn't get to look into it.
So, their new Krite kit is basically just a bougie. A bougie with a retaining device.
Yeah.
Forget all that inflatable shit.
That makes sense.
Pretty cool. Another cool product I saw was the Fix-It Sticks tool sticks. They're basically like little toolkits.
I love those things.
That you can convert. So it just looks like a regular T-handle Allen driver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all this stuff is like built into the handle. Mm-hmm. So you can go like, all right, what's the four most common bits that I use for my gun? And then you can.
And it just has the receivers on them. You can change it out. Yeah.
So it's nothing amazing, but it was like, someone.
Cool range bag.
So now instead of having to have the bag of Allen keys, because they forever and ever stay in the holder that they come in anyway.
Right.
You can just have this one thing, and it's like,
And it has torque settings.
And it has torque settings. So you can put like, hey, eight, you know, 18 pounds of torque is like typical for a scope ring, for example. So I can torque. Dude, it's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where like someone, a gunsmith or someone who's on the range a lot, is like, dude, I wish I had this and I'm going to make it. And then they just came up with this really useful little item. So the Fix-It Sticks, very cool little toolkit.
Mm.
The new Gen 4 from TacMed Solutions, very cool. I like the new Gen 4 soft tee.
Yeah.
Smaller windlass.
Mm-hmm.
Easier to pull single-handedly because they changed some really interesting things on there.
Like one really simple
interesting thing. That I didn't even know was a problem, and they didn't know it was a problem until accidentally they fixed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they were like, oh, shit. Oh, that's been the problem all this time. So really cool stuff that they fixed that made single-hand application of the soft tee wide way, way easier, and also a smaller windlass and a clip. So that you can clip the
temporary,
windlass
into temporary retaining.
Temporary clip.
Temporary clip so that you can clip it and then get the D-ring in without having to, with one hand,
do hold the both weird the windlass monkey claw thing
and the clip. Now you just lock the windlass into the clip and then
now you have two hands slide to clip D-ring your ring onto it.
I so am the new curious.
Gen 4, I think they're shipping in 2 weeks, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're coming out soon.
I am curious how it'll pack in our AVAC. Because I take a look at it, and it with that new clip, it makes it a little bit wider because that's usually the side we slide in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a major deterrent because it's still smaller than a cat.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious when we get our hands on one, how comfortable that would be.
Yes.
Pack one of those things.
Yeah. The new Daniel Defense rifle, making a bolt action. A lot of people making different stuff. Mossberg's making pistols and all that kind of stuff. Whatever, man. But the new Daniel Defense Delta 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn good rifle. I got a buddy who works at Daniel Defense where I was able to go over there and actually talk with them, and showed us the engineer. He brought the engineer over. Engineer came over and told us how he designed the rifle, why he designed the rifle, the kind of accuracy they're getting out of the rifle. Very excited. We're going to have a chance here pretty soon to go shoot some.
Nice.
Very excited to kind of see what they bring to the table. It's lightweight enough that you could actually use it as a field rifle, accurate enough that you can use it as a precision rifle, and very cool product.
So is it?
We're interested.
I'm assuming it's not going to be, but I have to ask. So like the Browning A-Bolt stuff, right?
Yeah.
Great guns, super specific, super proprietary. Right. I'm assuming the Daniel Defense is not super proprietary.
Proprietary in what way?
Well, like a lot of people won't even touch Browning A-Bolts. Like if there's something wrong with a Browning A-Bolt or a Browning X-Bolt, they won't even, you know, just like the way the internals and just.
Yeah, actually, so the new Daniel Defense is so not proprietary that they actually want you to be able to work on it. So one of the cool things they did with the barrel, because they know that in the precision shooting world, we go through barrels a lot. They made the barrel
user swappable,
damn easy. Dude, it's amazing. So they supply a special wrench. You there's a locking ring, you unlock the ring, you literally slide the barrel out. The new barrel only goes in one way and is perfectly matched, no head spacing needed. Slide the new bolt in, or the new barrel in, I mean, locking ring back on, barrel only goes in one way, lock the locking ring, done.
Perfect.
So easy to swap barrels.
He was saying they did like a field barrel swap in under 10 minutes or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was super fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I do it on like, he's like, I did it on the bed of my Tundra with a
Vice. That tailgate down. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
well, that's awesome.
Really cool new stuff.
I didn't get a chance to stop by there for whatever reason, because when I did walk by, the booth was just like,
it was a pretty popular thing, and they really promoted it, and they were a big SHOT Show sponsor and stuff like that. But I'm really looking forward to getting a chance to get behind the gun and try it out. So look at that, because it's supposed to be good. And then JP Enterprises. A lot of cool new stuff from JP. A really nice new chassis system.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool new chassis. So there was all kinds of other stuff, I mean, that I saw. All kinds of other products. And
there's two things. Medical things that are not as super cool and sexy. What'd you see? Quick Clot is coming out with, because they're getting rid of those 2 foot strips.
The advanced gun.
So now they're having, it's roughly same price, I think a little bit cheaper, but it's a 5 foot strip. Just a single 5 foot strip.
Which is basically Sellox wrap and ribbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So they're staying in the game with that. And then what I found out about
are they coming out with that? You see, because I didn't talk to them.
It was.
Did they have a booth?
No, it was part of the H&H booth.
Oh,
part of that. So I went to go see H&H. That
information from H&H.
Good, because that basically, as soon as they get rid of that advanced clotting gauze, we got to find something new to put in our kits. So.
Yeah, and that's what I talked to him, because we were trying to find Cellox, and I was at the H&H booth. And then the other one was info we found out about water gel.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. Water gel. What are they? Yes. Is there anything that was new? I didn't stop by.
Nothing that was new. It's still they're still doing the same.
Do they need to make anything?
Yeah, I don't know if they need to. They don't need to make. But the new stuff, the civilian version stuff, has tea tree oil in it still. The EMS version of stuff does not have the tea tree oil. I couldn't say the name of what they put in it because it's one of those crazy chemical names.
Right.
But supposedly it has better healing properties than the tea tree oil. So they're kind of testing it in the EMS, trying that out. And then if it actually works, I'll put it in everything. Nice. So that was it. Those are in my world, that's cool.
Oh, and they redid the weave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They redid the weave and their bandages. So, like, now when you open up your water gel and you pull it out, there's this ton of goo that gets left in there. Well, they opened up the weave to increase viscosity and surface tension. So now it pulls more of the goo out. Mm. So it's in the bandage more.
I got you.
And it's clear.
So. And I learned that on water gel, the expiration date is not a joke.
What happens?
It gets rancid, essentially. And starts to seriously lose effectiveness.
I still use it.
Well,
you're burning, dude.
Granted, their expiration dates are like 5 years.
Yeah, it's like every 5 years.
Whatever.
But I've got a set at the house that's like 15 years old now.
Whatever, dude, use it.
Big old body blankets.
If you're burning.
You want something.
You want something.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. If you open it up and it makes you gag, don't use it, I guess. So that's it for me. I can't think of anything else.
I spent a lot of time talking to materials guys. I didn't really do a lot on the show floor. I saw some cool stuff. Ran into a bunch of people that I know. Like a lot of that stuff. I didn't really go like I have in the previous years and like look at every single little thing. Saw some new cool stuff from I think it's OpsCore. They basically took a bump helmet and a ballistic helmet and kind of combined them. So it's kind of a modular helmet. Something that I was excited about from Revision is they're redoing the Sawfly line, and they're sizing them so that they, one, fit under modern helmets better, and two, they fit faces better.
Thanks for reminding me, because I almost forgot. They're also releasing their Hunter line.
Oh, cool.
So they have a really cool set of everyday wear glasses, which has always been my complaint to them, because Revision Eyewear has been a supporter of ours since the beginning. Literally the very first company we started professionally doing business with was Revision Eyewear. And I've always complained to them, like, look, man, I love your glasses, but I don't ever wear them out because they make me look like a freaking tactical ninja. And so finally this year, they're releasing their new line. So we're looking forward to getting some of those and trying them out. They're pretty slick. So
nice.
Excited about that. Anything else for you, Dave?
We stopped by Slip 2000. They have that new tactical cleaning.
Yeah, they have a new cleaning kit.
It's nothing crazy.
Who? What was that?
Slip 2000.
Yeah.
They have a. It's like a new
compatible pouch with.
Yeah.
It's cleaning kit, but it's Slip 2000 cleaning kit.
So we ask, what makes it tactical? And she goes, the bag.
Yeah, the lady was super funny. She's like, well, it's the bag.
It's the bag.
That makes it tactical. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Question, did we see SIG's new 338 Norma belt fed? Yes.
I did not.
I did stop and take a look at that because I was interested. Yes, it's exactly what you think it would be. It's a machine gun, belt fed machine gun that fires 338 Norma. It's amazing. It's a hitter. For Jesus. Sure. I mean, obviously, I didn't shoot it, but it's a big boy. So it's definitely interesting. Definitely interesting to be able to maintain that kind of energy, that kind of velocity. You know, we'll see what it is, the applicability when people actually start picking it up and using it. But until then, it's cool. It's definitely a cool factor. If you guys have any questions about SHOT Show, something that we saw, something we didn't see, something we talked about, you have questions about whatever, or comments about something. Obviously, you know, you can always comment on our Facebook video. You can always send us a message via Patreon or Instagram as well under the Arms Room, and we're happy to talk about it with you. Email also info@trainingaz.com, which is also where you can contact us about hosting us for training in your area. We'd love to come to wherever you are and teach you the stuff that we do over at Independence Training. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube as the Arms Room, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. Make sure you're watching the new weekly Nugget videos that Dave and Ryan are mostly doing from Independence Training, are doing on the Independence Training YouTube channel, as well as the Independence Training Facebook page, every single week releasing a new video
Fridays.
About some new concept. Every Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Every Friday. Releasing a new video about some kind of content. We're now 3 weeks in, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure that you guys check that out. We are proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure that you check out the other shows that are on the network there. Next week, we're going to be talking about the last rifle you're ever going to want to own. All right. The rifle. The final thing.
The one.
The one. All right. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.